This conference will now be recorded.
Right, hello everybody, and welcome to this special teleclass. I'm incredibly excited today. This is a teleclass going to be going out to my PBIC list, and also my special guest has a number of lists as well that he'll probably be sharing it with. But I'm going to go into a bit of backstory in a second. But first of all, I'm going to introduce the man himself. This is a weird one for me, Paul, because I've been listening to you for ages, but we've been Facebook friends kind of thing for a while, but yeah. Never actually spoke to you in person. So welcome, mate. Welcome.
Oh, thanks, mate. I'll tell you what's crazy. Like, you're probably like 20 minutes down the road.
No. Well, I did suggest we could meet with this person, but maybe.
Well, do you know what I was going to do? I was going to get a cup, two cups, and tie a bit of string in between. You're so close to me, we could have done it like that.
Yes, both Sunderland lads.
Yeah.
So we've got that in common straight away, and both bang into marketing.
Yeah.
Before I'm going to ask you a story in a minute, mate. Tell your story a little bit, but okay. I just want to tell you first how you, in a way, were quite pivotal to how I kind of got into learning about, you know, direct response marketing and all that kind of. Yeah,
really?
Honestly, because I believe it was a mutual friend of ours, Dan Alberts.
Shit. I was just talking about him last night at Tuesday night. I was talking about him because the guy that I roll jiu-jitsu with, who works with Dan. That's mad.
Yeah. So anyway, Dan used to work for me and stuff as well, you know. But yeah. Previous to that, I believe he just shared something of yours on Facebook. And I ended up clicking on and listening to your original podcast.
Holy shit, that's a long time ago, eh?
Yeah, no, it was, buddy, yeah. And then from there, I mean, I wasn't into fitness, but I was just kind of tentatively learning about marketing.
Me neither. When I did that, I wasn't into fitness either. I was a fat mess.
loads of different episodes. I actually found John McCulloch through you.
Yeah.
And I ended up kind of, because obviously you specifically fitness, although we know Martin, but I kind of ended up following John and, joining his group and then joining his elite group and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
but I've always like followed what you've done. And I was a big fan of that podcast, buddy. You should do something else with that.
This is interesting. The podcast thing is that I actually still have it, but I just don't give it away for free anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay. No.
What I did was I actually lost it, right? Because I just, when I went through that period of my life where I was, well, we'll probably end up talking about the time where I wasn't ready to kill myself. I just kind of let it die. And then I lost it because Libsyn, who hosted my podcast, I just stopped paying it, right? And then when I want to start another podcast, I said to them, because obviously, if you've got no host, it just disappears off iTunes.
Yeah, of course,
as well.
Yeah.
I didn't save any of my laptop because I was like, what's the point? I'm going to store it here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I asked them if they could get it back for me, and they could. But then I was like, am I going to put this back out, or am I going to use it as a bonus bundle?
Yeah.
And I use it as a bonus bundle, and people still love it, although I sound real different on it. It's interesting. It's interesting listening back to some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I still have a podcast now as well. I have a daily podcast now. It's called
That's
Daily.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, there's 200 of them on iTunes, but again, I stopped doing that for free. Not because I'm greedy, just I do enough stuff for free, and the people that pay me deserve the most value. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
They get the Daily Diesel now, again, as part of the bundle of coming into my program.
Cool. Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, so there you go. So I just thought you might be interested to know. That was how
that's crazy, that was
how I kind of found you, yeah. But anyway, let's go back a little bit more in time, mate. How did you, tell us a little bit about Paul growing up and how you kind of fell into business and that kind of thing. Let's go right back.
Well, the reason I fell into business, I left school with two GCSEs, so I couldn't get into college.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted to be a journalist or a hairdresser, which is very interesting. Who knows where I could be now and what kind of guy I'd be married to if I decided to be a hairdresser.
Well, I've seen your hair, so that's
it's on point. It's on point. I've got what's called a French crop. Apparently, it's fleek.
Uh-huh,
yeah. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. So my dad got me a job in a factory, and I got fat. Basically, I got a job in a factory that was well paid. I started off on a YTS. Remember those? 30 quid a week.
Mm-hmm.
30 quid a week. And I used to have to work in a leisure center every night. And then the 30 quid a week was actually making radiators. And then I worked in a leisure center on a night time. And then I worked in a bar on a weekend as a glass collector. That's how I met my wife, actually. It's 16 years old. Crazy. I'm 39 this year. So long ass time. So I hated that. And I got fat. I basically discovered women, booze, and drugs, and I got fat. real fat. And then that was my first evolution is I lost weight. Everybody asked me how I did it. I ended up becoming a personal trainer. Long story short, I became a pretty successful personal trainer. I built this franchise business. I ended up touring the UK for a big company, teaching other personal trainers how I was doing it, how I was getting people in such good shape. And then I started this bootcamp franchise. And then that was kind of started becoming my downfall. I started being successful and I kind of didn't know how to deal with it. I started getting hate. I started getting a lot of criticism. I had this conversation on a podcast interview I just did, actually, where I said, the funny thing is about when you start to become successful is that half the people are talking shit and the other half asking how you did it. You know what I mean? It was very interesting. And funny enough, there's only one side of that actually wins at anything. It's the side that asking how he did it, the modeling thing. So I ended up with this business that I ended up with this life that I didn't really like. I was doing loads of drugs. I was boozing. I kind of fell out of love with fitness because I did it for so long. I had a kid. My first kid, Max, was born 8 years ago. And I actually ended up getting married and moving to Marbella. And I lived there for 2 years and basically had a 2-year holiday. Imagine a 2-year holiday, but it was like a lad's holiday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of drugs, a lot of booze, a lot of partying. Not much work because I built a successful business. I didn't need to do that much work. Started a supplement company while I was there, and that exploded, really blew up. And then I started, while I was out there as well, I sold my bootcamp franchise. So I was just coaching trainers. And then I stumbled across, actually, for a while, I'd been into Dan Kennedy's Inner Circle. You know, the Glazer Kennedy.
Yeah.
I was in that. And then I met a guy called Andre Chaperon, who was he basically lived in Marbella, about 10 minutes away from me. So I hung out with him. He started the concept of email. And then he turned me on to Ben Settle. And then I got into this paper newsletter thing.
Yeah.
And then this whole newsletter thing just blew up. And before I knew it, I was doing 30 grand a week for about 4 hours work a week. And again, I was in that position where about 30 grand a month, 30 grand a month for about 4 hours a week. And with 300 members deep. And again, I was bored. I had this combination of boredom and burnout. So while I was out there, I had a big meltdown, got diagnosed with clinical depression. And the diagnosis was wrong. So they put me on antidepressants. And it turns out I had bipolar. And bipolar disorder, you have huge highs and huge lows. And unfortunately, the antidepressants made the highs even higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you've then got the low lows. So we ended up moving back to South Shields. In that time, my daughter was born out there as well, same year, 2013 she was born. And then I came home and I was home a few months, and then I had the meltdown of all meltdowns. And that was December 2014. I was ready to jump off a cliff. I built this life that I thought I wanted, that I thought like everyone wanted from the outside looking in. I had a hot wife, loads of cash. I lived in Marbella at the time. I had a 4-bedroom villa with a private pool, 2 beautiful kids, working hardly any hours. Yeah, inside I was miserable. Inside I was miserable. It was almost like I feel like I'd sacrificed everything else to build this business. And the analogy that I would use would be I climbed up this ladder to success, if you like, and I was punched along the way. People were throwing shit at me along the way. I sweated. I bled. I sacrificed my health, sacrificed my relationships, almost sacrificed my marriage, sacrificed the first 2 years of my son's life. I may as well have not been there. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to the top, I realized it was against the wrong building.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I was at. I was almost like, the 3 words that I'd use would be, is this it? Is this it? And that was the start of this next journey for me. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, not so brilliant at times, but yeah, no, it's what happened next then? Let's carry on then.
What happened next was a couple of things. 2 pivotal moments for me were my wife talking me down off this cliff. Now, this had been a kind of an incident where there'd been months where I'd just disappear for like 2 days, not speak to anybody. My wife would worry, she'd send the police out for me. I actually spent 3 days in the bead wing in the August of that year, which is a psychiatric ward. Spent 3 days in there after going missing, and they found me in the sea, interestingly enough, just up to my waist, walked out of the sea. I actually have not much memory of it. I was so fucked up.
Yeah.
And this had been going on a while, but this cliff incident, she said to me, stood in front of me, And she said to me, Paul, think about the kids. And that's a bit of a cliche. And I was like, I am thinking about the fucking kids. That's why I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm horrible to be around. I'm nasty to them. I don't want to be around them. Horrible to be around. I thought I was the lowest of the low. I felt like a piece of shit. And she said, well, listen, imagine them growing up as those kids who dad killed himself. That changed everything. Mm-hmm. That changed everything for me, mate. And then I remember Christmas Day 2014, and I was in the house with the suicide watch team in the sitting room with me on Christmas fucking day. My wife and kids weren't even there. They were at my mother-in-law's because they couldn't be around me. And they said to me, Paul, if you don't change, you're going to die. And that was the second piece where I was like, you're right. Because I knew for a while that I should, that something wasn't working for me. Something wasn't quite right. I knew that maybe I should change. Maybe I should start looking after myself. Maybe I should stop snorting so much coke. Maybe I should stop drinking so much. Maybe I should put less time into things that aren't serving me. And the shoulds became musts from them. And then that was it, really. And they ended up on a bunch of courses. They ended up learning a bunch of things. And then I ended up doing what I do today, which is I still do the marketing, the PT marketing stuff, but I just teach email marketing now. Yeah. And then I also have my Unstoppable business, which is we've got 300 guys in the program now. And that's where I take pretty successful businessmen, and I basically help them get their shit together across their entire life. So I help them make more money, take more time off, get in shape, get a hold of their emotions, become more mentally resilient, improve their relationships, enjoy their own company a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. I mean, in the last few years, I've done a lot of shit. I've had 3 boxing fights.
Yeah, started
boxing at 36 years old. I've taken on jiu-jitsu, and I'm almost a blue belt level, which is pretty fast, I think. I've done a 2-day SAS selection training. I've done the original SAS march, a fan dance, which was fucking brutal. I've jumped out of a plane. I've beaten anxiety. I used to have to take diazepam to go anywhere because I had such bad anxiety and panic attacks and shit. I've beaten the fear of the dentist. I don't take any meds at all now. Actually, I have to take one med, which is steroid up my nose, because my nose is fucked from snorting so much coke back in the day. No shit. And I've broken my nose twice from boxing. Boxing had such an impact on my life. It's crazy. So is jiu-jitsu. What else? I've done a bunch of shit. I ran a half marathon with no training. I've done a bunch of OCR stuff. I've written a book, which I'm sure we're going to get onto.
Superb.
It's been a pretty crazy journey, and you've actually seen most of it.
Well, yeah, I have. Yeah, no, from the outside, definitely. I've been observing, and like I said, you've always been inspiration to me with the way that you've conducted yourself in your business and stuff. But even more so, I guess, now that I know, you know, exactly what you've been through. Before we move on to the marketing and stuff, Paul, was the one thing that like contributed to you all the bad stuff that happened, or was it just a culmination, do you think, of lots of different things
that led me to that cliff?
Yeah.
Sacrificing everything else to make more money.
It was, well, so putting what, the business ahead of what was really important.
The business ahead of family, above my mental health, above my physical health, above all of it. Sacrificing everything just to make more money.
That was
what I thought I had to do. That was what I thought I was working for, two or three holidays a year, weekends off. But I was bragging about 16-hour, 17-hour work days sometimes. Like, I think that happens a lot. But sacrificing everything else just to make more money was probably the biggest part of it. That was probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah,
and not knowing how to deal with a lot of it, and not knowing how to deal with these emotions and this criticism, and not knowing how to deal with any of that shit was probably it.
That's interesting. I mean, if there was one, that would be alone would be enough of a takeaway from the teleclass, wouldn't it? Talking to my guys a lot more recently about mindset and stuff, you know, and getting your head right, and because how I kind of explain it to my guys is, once you start doing marketing correctly, the business does grow. I mean, yours particularly caught light, didn't it, for a number of reasons, but
we've gone from five for a year. We had between 5 and 8 clients for a year.
Yeah.
And then the last 20-21 months, we're now at 300.
I mean, you know, and as I say to my guys, you know, when you start marketing correctly, the business will take off. Yeah. And then it's up to you then how far you want to push it premium pricing wise and stuff, and yeah. who you want to serve. But you've got to keep leveling up, haven't you? You know,
yeah.
and keep grounded as well. Yeah.
Your business will only grow at the extent you do. Or yeah. it'll grow too big for you and overwhelm the shit out of you. And basically yeah. weigh you down and you'll want to burn the fuck out of the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, that's where you tend to happen. It'll only grow to the extent that you grow, mm-hmm. and it'll grow beyond you. And if you don't grow with that, it'll crush you. That's kind of what happened to me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Right, mate. I want to talk about a couple of things that I think you do very, very well. Well, you know you do very well as well. But one of them's emails and follow up. Yeah. Like you say, you made that a bit of a speciality. And uh-huh. the other thing is being polarizing in your marketing and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's start with the email first. Why is email so good, and what's it done for you?
It's made me over £2 million. Just email. Email yep. is so good that, well, there's the start. And it allows me to email works when I don't. Mm-hmm. Email works when I don't want to. It's easy to stand out in the inbox because every fucker else is addicted to social media.
Yeah,
I use social media a lot, but most other people who are trying to compete with me are addicted to social media because they get the instant gratification of a like or a comment.
Yeah.
And the great thing about them not emailing is that I get people's inbox to myself. And guess what you need to have to open a social media account? An email address.
yeah.
I love email so much just because I've got people's attention. There's less competition. Someone said to me, Paul, what's the future of email marketing in 2019? I said, it's going to get easier for people like me. He said, why is that? I said, because everybody else is going to quit. And everyone else is saying email doesn't work. I'm like, email does work. Shit email doesn't work. It's as simple as that. Email works, but shit email doesn't. It's as simple as that. So, there's a bunch of different benefits. It's more private. It's like I'm having a personal conversation. I don't have to deal with endless direct messages and people wanting to have a conversation with me via Facebook. It positions me as an authority because people don't have as much access to me as they do when they hit me up on social media all the time. I can automate it. Listen, when I go on a holiday, Dom, and I like to brag about this because it's braggable. It's brag worthy. When I go on holiday, I don't even take my phone with me. Whereas my competition, a fucking video on everything on the holiday for marketing purposes. I'm like, dude, come on. You can't give your attention to the people that you love whilst at the same time giving attention to people strangers on the other side of your phone.
Yeah.
So that's what email does for me. I can go on holiday to Thailand for 2 weeks, not even take my phone, leave my phone in the kitchen, not even look at my wife's phone or an iPad or a laptop, mm-hmm. and email will still make me money.
Yeah.
No other medium will do that. I mean, listen, Facebook advertising and basically paid advertising will, but what most people are doing, this social media hustle, that's nonstop, and that's not for me.
No.
I'm trying to build a self-managing business.
Yeah.
Even though I love what I do, I'd rather hang out with my kids. And I tell the guys that who I work with, I said, listen, I love coaching you guys, but I'd rather be my family in a foreign country in the sun. I'd rather be my family on the beach here. I'd rather be playing fucking Xbox with my son than coaching you guys, and I've got no problem admitting that. Email allows me to do that.
Yeah, I 100% agree, buddy. Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? You know, once you get into it, it's easy. It's effective. Yeah. And in fact, what you're just saying as well, I'm so glad you've said that about the social media side of things because I'm like you. I use Facebook, you know, to drive people to webinars or to drive people, you know, for adverts and stuff because it's fantastic for the targeting.
Yeah.
But then I get them off the fuck Facebook, don't we? You know, we get them off and we get them onto the list then.
Yeah.
You're instrumental with me emailing daily as well, definitely.
Yeah. Dude, people say to me all the time, how often should I send emails? I'm like, every day you want to get paid.
Yeah.
If I don't send an email, I can't get paid. It's that simple. So here's the reality, right? People worry about it. I'm like, would you only post on Facebook once a week? I'm only going to send one email a week anymore is too much. I'm like, well, would you only post on Facebook once a week? No, you wouldn't. Email every day you want to get paid. I have 7 opportunities a week to make a deposit in somebody's emotional bank account, to make them feel a certain way. Right, or to inspire them, or to trigger them, or to generate any emotion. That's what I say to my guy. I don't give a fuck what emotion I generate in someone reading my email. Whether that's some level of empathy, whether that's some level of connection, whether it's anger, I don't give a fuck. Whether it's the motivation or inspiration, whether it's humor or generating them. As long as I generate emotion, I'm not bothered. And every day I have an opportunity to do that. If I don't send it, they might go somewhere else. People don't buy when we want them to buy.
That's right.
They buy when they're ready. And it's my moral and ethical duty to be there when they're ready.
Yeah, totally. Funny enough, I missed an email yesterday. I didn't send one for the first time in about 5 months.
Really?
Honest to God, yeah. I think it was because I was away at the weekend and I was tired and I just never got anywhere. But anyway, there you go.
If I don't plug an email in, I have somebody else who just does it for me and just plugs an old one in. That's a beautiful thing about sending daily. I've written over 3,000 emails. So sometimes when I go on holiday, I'll be like, oh, I need to write a week's worth of emails. But then I'm like, I'll write two, and I'll be like, bro, can you just plug some old ones in, please?
Yeah.
And people don't even notice. And when they do, I'm like, dude, I'm so glad you noticed, because it means you're paying attention to what I'm saying. By the way, why haven't you fucking bought anything yet?
Yeah, definitely. Always an excuse to send another email. Brilliant.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Yeah.
Classic. Do you still get a lot of resistance with your guys, Paul, to starting emails, or are they?
No, because now I'm only selling an email program. It's kind of obvious that they're coming in to learn how to write emails.
So it's way simpler now.
They get a bit of resistance about sending 7 emails a week, and I'm like, listen, as long as you're sending more than, I think anything less than 3 is a fucking waste of time. You're just reminding people to unsubscribe. People have forgotten who you are after a few days. No shit. That's the crazy thing. People have forgotten who you are after a few days. You'll lose momentum. And that's the only resistance that I get. And then I get a little bit of resistance when I teach them how to write like repulsion-based emails. But I don't actually write as many of them as I used to. Mm-hmm. Because I used to have this mentality that people who don't buy are cheapskates and tire kickers. I'm like, I'm not sure that exists as much as I thought it did. And now I'm just of the opinion that sometimes people just aren't ready. Doesn't mean they're never going to buy. It's just that they're not ready. So I changed my approach quite a bit in my emails from buy or fuck off to I get it if you don't want to buy yet, but at some point you're going to need to take some action here. So I just changed my approach slightly based on I've been working with Dean Jackson. You know Dean Jackson? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dean's become a good friend of mine, and he's an amazing marketer. Like I went to his mastermind last year. I've never seen anything like it. It was incredible. It was brilliant. Wow. And I learned so much. In fact, one email that he taught me to write made me well over 6 figures. One email.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one that I sent. I sent it on Tuesday night, actually. You might want to check your inbox. Yeah.
I will do. Yeah. I'll write that down.
Yeah. And he taught me to write this email, and it's blown my business up. Just this one email. Obviously, you can't credit it to one email.
No, of course not. No. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
You never can. You never can just credit it to one email because it's the accumulation. Sales is a process, not an event, right? So he told me this one email that blew things up. But he just like, Paul, I don't know where you got the stats from, but it made a ton of sense to me. He said, Paul, would you email different if you knew that within 18 months, 50% of the people that join your email list will buy from you? Change it completely. Mm. He said, start thinking about your email list rather than one lead at a time. Think about it in chunks of 100. And that people are only in 3 categories. They're going to buy now, they're going to buy later, or they're never going to buy. And just this little talk that I had with them was like, holy shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to understand that the first few emails that you write could be the peak of your relationship. And he said, your email approach has to change slightly from being on a stage and shouting at people to sometimes coming down off the stage and saying, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you still interested in improving your business, for example? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That little conversation that I had with them changed everything for me. And that just changed my approach. I'm still not bothered about sending those repulsion emails. I just don't send them as often now.
You're not as much, yeah.
I'm a little bit less aggressive with my tone. I'm a little bit more like, listen, you'll see my PS now. My PS and my emails is, whenever you're ready, here are 3 ways I can help you.
Yeah.
That has changed my game so much. Honestly, dude, if I showed you some screenshots now, what happened in my inbox? I'm probably getting 6 or 7 inquiries a day from my emails. Yeah, 6 or 7 a day. And not when I send people the details, they don't reply straight away. But now I don't get butthurt. Oh, no one's buying. They're such a cheapskate. They're pussies for not buying. And I'm like, no, they're just not ready yet. I'm sure there's been certain points in my life where someone sent me some details and I haven't done anything with it. It doesn't mean I'm cheapskate. It just meant that I wasn't ready just yet.
Absolutely.
Or sometimes I just say, I forgot about that. Or I wasn't as hot as I thought I was.
Yeah, totally. We've all been there. We did. I'm doing some seminars at the minute around the UK, and did one at the weekend. And there was a girl there who, she'd bought the book, and she bought like a couple of products and stuff. And then she came along to the seminar, but she was just like kind of. I mean, she, don't get me wrong, she bought a few things, but she was like hovering, you know. She's like circling around, and then she came along to sort of meet me in person.
Yeah.
And Julie signed up on the day, and then she's going to come to the big event as well, you know. So like you say, it's just, they're there, aren't they? They're there, they're watching. You've just got to make it as easy as possible for them to.
It's your job to be there. The thing is, what I'm seeing whenever they're ready, but I'm like, it's my job to be there when they're all ready. Otherwise, guess what? That time when they're ready, if I haven't emailed them, they could go and spend the money with some fucking duck egg. Know what I mean?
Yeah,
they could
totally.
Go and give their money to some
and
fucking
they will. And there's lots of duck eggs. There's plenty of duck eggs out there now.
Oh, dude, it's a duck egg festival. Duck egg festival.
I was going to say about email as well before we move on a bit is
I
find it a bit like writing a book in a way. It's very character forming. It's good for your habits, your daily habits. You know, like I get up in the morning, I make breakfast for the band, and then we sit watching the band together. I write the email, I go to the gym. It's just like a habit, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's it's a good habit to get into. It's a great habit to get into. The other thing that I wanted to mention on this, actually, because this is something that I tell my guys, and it took me a while to figure this out. Everyone knows this. Everyone's using this like now. You can't pay your mortgage with likes. You can't pay your mortgage with followers. You can't really pay your mortgage with email addresses either, to be fair. But what we have here is the level of commitment, especially these days, the level of commitment to like somebody's post or follow somebody is extremely low. It's a tap, right? It's a little tap. But putting an email address in now to get something is actually quite a big investment.
Yeah.
Think about that. So everyone just get, and especially in the game that I'm in, people are upset. I interviewed, do you know who James Smith is or not?
No, mate, I don't, sorry.
James Smith's a big deal in the fitness industry. He's got 750,000 followers on Facebook, and he's got, let's see, I coached him for a long time, and he sends daily email. So talking about this morning, he's got, on Instagram, he's got 262,000 followers. There's a lot of people that, right? Been on TV, people threaten to sue him all the time. He says cunt a lot. He's read McCulloch's book, actually, which is interesting.
All right, yeah, cool.
Yeah, he came from me listening to another podcast. And anyway, he blows up and he sends daily emails. So I'm interviewing, told him this morning, and I said, and obviously he's big into social media, but he's like, the problem is hitting follow is so easy, and it doesn't mean they're committed, and a like isn't a lead.
No.
Somebody putting their personal email address in and saying, here's what they're also saying. I have that problem that you are talking about, and I think that maybe you could solve it. It's a very different thing, right?
Yeah. It is.
It's like, I'm going to give him my personal email address. So it's like this. For overweight people, it's like they're saying when they download your free report or whatever, they're saying, yes, I'm fat, and I think that your thing might be able to fix it, versus hit and follow because they think you look sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a totally different thing. It's for me these days, it's quite a big commitment. This is the mindset shift that people need to have when they're paying for leads. I mean, Paul, I'm not getting many leads. I'm like, how much you're paying? They're like £2. I'm like, really? You won't pay £2 for somebody to come into your, essentially they're stepping into your office and they are saying, yes, Paul, I'm in the pain that you are talking about, and I just wanted to know, would you be able to help me? You wouldn't pay £2 for that, bro, but you pay £2 to boost the fucking polls to get a few likes. Piss off, man.
Yeah.
It's a real interesting mindset shift that I've had. I mean, isn't that always got it? But I'd still begrudge spending money on paid ads. You know what I mean? I'd still rather do it. But then I had this mindset shift, and I'm teaching to all my guys now. I'm like, listen, you've got to understand that it doesn't matter how much you spend on marketing. It comes down to what you're willing to pay per lead.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? People don't even know what they're spending too much on ads. Oh, Paul, what should my ad budget be? I'm like, how much are you willing to spend on a lead? It's as simple as that. That's essentially what it boils down to. And they're like, I'm spending too much on ads. How many leads are you getting? And then they don't do the maths. I had one lady. She was like, Paul, I got 200 leads, and only two of them bought. I'm like, okay, let's do the maths. How much you spent to get the 200 leads? £200. Only two people bought. How much did you make from each of those sales? £600. I'm like, hang on a second, that's 1,200. You've 6x'd. You've 6 times your investment. She's like, and suddenly she got it. She thought, I've only made a sale. I've spent £600. That's the thing. It's not a spend. It's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how many days a week would you go to the bookies, or would you go to the bank, give them £200, and they give you £1,200 back? She said, every day. I said, well, I'll do it twice a day. It's as simple as that. I'd do it twice a day, and I'd probably go naked if you needed me to. Know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that's the shift.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think the shift's important because people can kind of, eventually they can get their head around like follow-up, you know, and understanding that email's a good idea and stuff. But then as well, you've got to get your head around the fact that, you know, lifetime value of a customer, like what's the ROI, you know, how long are you going to have this customer for, you know, which obviously then forces you to, you know, create services or products or whatever to sell to
these people. This is a bigger boys game, isn't it, right, Dom? It's a big boys game. And that's actually called business, not a hobby. I think a lot of us get into it as a side hustle and a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. But at some point, you got to level up and start acting like a fucking business and look at the numbers. And we get obsessed with the wrong numbers. We get obsessed with how many clients we've got. Like, listen, you might have 300 clients, but they're paying you a tenner a month each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've got three and they're paying me 1,000 a month. Who's winning?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we just get obsessed with the wrong numbers sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Brilliant, pal. Brilliant. Right. Let's talk a bit about polarization.
Yeah. Yeah.
And putting your personality into your marketing. And Paul, I've actually got a copy of your book here, but it's just as well we had to rearrange this because it wouldn't have arrived by the time it came last time. But anyway,
Bill Goss's fault, bro.
we'll blame Bill for everything. That's all right.
Big Bill's getting a lot of hassle because we sold like 1,000 copies in the last 2 weeks, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's shifting and Bill's getting the hassle off the people that aren't getting it in time because I'm like, don't email me and ask where it is.
So I've flicked through the book, buddy. I love it. Yeah. I love the layout. I love the, you know, all the white space. You've kept it simple. Yeah. There's tons of you in there, as I would have expected and stuff. You know, it's a nice length for a book as well. I personally think. But personality and stuff. You know, you obviously. I don't know if you find this easy or not, Paul, or if you always have about putting your personality in.
I don't try.
No.
There's no effort.
Yeah.
That's the thing that a lot of people struggle with. Can you give us some tips? I'm like, stop fucking lying.
Yeah.
Stop lying. Just talk like when I'm on the phone, I talk to my mate. Mm-hmm. So most of my videos and shit, and when I'm writing, I'm just writing. Like, everyone says that. I meet someone, they're like, Paul, you just like on your emails. I read your emails, and your accent is a classic that I get. Yeah, oh, Paul, I read your book in your accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not attempting to be polarizing at all. I'm talking like I talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I learned a valuable lesson a long time ago when I built my bootcamp franchise. I was a bit fake. Put it this way, I was trying to be a stuffed shirt, as John would call it, right? I was trying to be professional, right? I thought that people would be offended. And then I built this business where people came in who thought I was one way. And then they'd come in and I'd be myself and they'd be all fucking offended and all butthurt and all throwing their toys out the pram. And it was exhausting that. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting not being yourself because essentially it's acting. Think about that. It's acting.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to have to act around anyone and walk on eggshells. Do you know what I mean? In fact, if somebody's offended by something that I've got to say, imagine taking that money. Imagine that person giving you money. They're basically paying you for acting. And I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. So it's for me, I'm just talk like I speak. That's why I think live video is so good. Mm-hmm. Because essentially you can't really script it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people do and it looks ridiculous, but you can't really script it. You just have to go with it. I've almost forced my guys to do live video.
Yeah.
Because then you can't overthink it. Just hit record and go. You'll learn on the job, bro. You know what I mean?
Actually, I never thought about that before with the live video. I do learn a lot of them. I don't find them difficult either, but for that reason alone, it's well worth doing.
And the great news is that Facebook loves live video too. They'll always live video takes up a bunch of shit. They send loads of notifications out on that. We're getting like honestly within a couple of days, I'm getting like 5,000 or 6,000 views on a video, the live ones. When I post anything else up that isn't live, like a live video that isn't live and has all the fucking subtitles on, you know those videos that have the subtitles on and all and shit, they get nowhere near unless I pay. Yeah. So I'm like, let's just go live and we'll learn on the job, dude. And all I do on my live videos is essentially the same format as I do emails. Mm-hmm. It's something that happened. Here's what I learned from it. Here's how you can apply it. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you really want to apply it, send me some money. I actually don't do that much on live videos. My call to action on my live videos is a bit weak, to be honest.
All right. But no, this whole personality thing, I think when I started the dog adventure business, I did two things. Well, with the pricing, I was premium price basically from the start, you know. So, and I fixed so many by premium pricing. I obviously I had premium positioning then as well. Do you know what I mean? I instantly positioned myself as being the best too.
Yeah.
And then when I kind of a little bit further down the line, when I really started to add the personality in, then it really took off. But what I'm thinking is when I was premium, I kind of avoided a lot of problems that a lot of other pet business owners had. But I guess with you, with the personality thing and just the fact that you do it, I don't know, you avoid, well, you, when you were doing the book.
Here's what I do. I think what helps me is telling personal stories rather than giving tips.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always start with a personal story. It almost means that I have to be myself because it's happened to me.
Yeah.
That tends to be what I lead with. And then I'll throw in some tips on top of that. But I'm already into being myself. It's like telling it's like being around being in a bar, which is very, very, very rare these days. Or it's like, let's put it this way. It's like being in jiu-jitsu, getting ready for a class and telling a story about something that happened the weekend. And then throwing in some tips that are helpful for the people that are watching. And that's how I do my emails anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just, again, it's kind of like I write my emails like I'm writing it to one person.
Yeah.
And then when I'm in front of one person, I don't have to worry about being like, do you know what I mean? I don't want to take money from people.
No, definitely. Yeah. No, you don't.
I'm in a position now where I'd rather not take money. I don't particularly want to take money from someone that I wouldn't hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, well, you're lucky enough to be able to do that. I'm like, no, I'm not lucky enough to be able to do that. I'm marking my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
You sit on Facebook and expect clients to come to you via osmosis.
Yeah.
Don't have it.
And you know, when someone does slip through the net for whatever reason, you know, and they come in and they're not the right fit, it's awful, isn't it? You know,
yeah, there's your money back, dude.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had a guy kicking off about my book saying it's got spelling errors and shit in it. And would you be? And I just sent him his money. There's your money back, dude. He said that wasn't what I was asking. I was trying to get into a discussion about your book and Russian things. Thanks for your feedback, bro. Yeah. Now fuck off. In fact, I had it recently. There was a guy came to an event of mine, right? A one-day event. I actually stopped doing them now, one-day events. I don't particularly like them that much. It's hard to get a balance for the new people and people who've been exposed to a lot of my shit. And then, so you're always worried about, is it too advanced for these new people? And these people that have been in for ages, is it too low level for them? Do you know what I mean? And I was like, eh, fuck it. I'm just not going to do them anymore. So I had this one guy, first one I've ever had. I've done four of these events. Probably 500-600 people gone through the four events altogether. So about 120 people per event. And this one guy, the first one ever, asked him for a refund. You didn't cover this. And he actually sent me a screenshot of the sales copy from before the event. Who the fuck's done that? You didn't do this, you didn't do that, and this didn't happen, and why did you not give that away? And I was like, I'm not even gonna read it. There's your money back, bro. And he sent me a few messages saying, are you not gonna kind of like open up dialogue about this? Like, what? Honestly, the two people exactly the same. The one I didn't want a refund. I just wanted to open up a discussion.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in a discussion. If you want a discussion, pay me more money. But and I still won't have a discussion. So anyway, he just gave me his money back and ignored him. And then he tried to get in my program a few months later, and I said no. And he couldn't understand why I said no. I said, dude, based on our previous discussions, you are not a good fit for this business. You should go to another program. And he couldn't understand it. I said, dude, me and you are not a good fit here. We're not a good fit at all. And I can't tell you, you think in one space, you're like, my cheapest program, 700 quid or 900 quid over 3 months. And I said, part of me's thinking, it's fucking 700 quid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Quid, that's a flight to fucking Dubai.
Hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm thinking, imagine how much of a pain this guy's going to be when he comes in. And the power that you get from turning people away is incredible. And then and a message that I want to pass across to the guys who are listening, because I get this with everyone that comes into my programs, and I get it a lot. What about people that can't afford it? I'm like, well, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
I get this so often with my program, especially the amount of followers that I've got compared to the amount of clients that I've got is disproportionate. I've got 30,000 followers on Facebook and just under 300 clients. Right. That's a small portion, very small portion. But here's the thing. What do I do when I can't afford something? What do you do when you can't afford something, Dom?
I don't buy it until
I don't buy it, but you save up to buy it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I'm like, well, what am I meant to do? Me, if people can't afford it, that's not my problem. other companies don't give me a discount when I tell them I can't afford it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't say that if I want to go to the Atlantis in Dubai, I can't say I can't. If I say I can't afford it to them, which doesn't happen, by the way, FYI. It's my favorite place on earth. The kids like it better in the Atlantis in Dubai more than the like Disneyland. No shit, it's crazy.
Wow, wow.
So they if I said that to them, they wouldn't then say, "Oh well, I'll make it a little bit cheaper just for you." They just say, "Well, that's fine. We'll find somebody else that can afford it." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's the reality of it. Don't lower your price for people that can't afford it. Find more people that can.
Yeah, we actually get this a lot in the dog industry with the dog trainers, because they feel morally, so for some reason they feel morally obligated to that they have to help people at any cost. Yeah.
Well, you do that with your free stuff. You do that with your free stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
That's and I do that as well. And in fact, this book's reminded me kind of why I don't have a low end product. Because I've thought about it I should have a lower end product where I just teach. You know what I mean? So I could have a membership site where I just teach. There's no access to me. There's no coaching. Or should I do like one of my students, Simon? He's actually a brilliant email marketer, and he has a lower end product where he charges people to come in for 28 days, and then he upsells them onto his 90 days. Right? Mm-hmm. I start in 90 days, and I'm constantly thinking, Simon, you're fucking killing it with these 21 days. But he's like, oh, do not do this, because with the guys that you attract, a lower price product would be nothing but stress. Nothing but stress. So yeah, with this book though, and people pissing and moaning about when's it going to be here, and that they seem to lack the ability to read emails, I tell them how long it's going to take. It's just reminded me of why I don't have a lower price product, because it tends to bring more stress, more people, and maybe a little bit more money, but more stress. I'd rather people just buy my free shit follow my free shit and then have a higher end product than something in between. A lot of marketers would probably disagree with this. They'd probably be like, oh, well, you're missing out on money and you're doing this and you're doing that. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not prepared to have the stress. Although I am starting to fill the gap, Dom, with an audiobook, by the way. The audiobook is blown up right now. People are buying the book, and then I'm saying the audiobook's 20 quid. There's no access to me. It's obvious it's an audiobook, and it's 20 quid. I've done it already, and I don't have to do any extra work.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, no, I do. So how does that funnel work then? So what they buy, I can't remember now when I bought it.
They buy the book. Buy the book. There's no option of just downloading the PDF, but I send them the PDF as a surprise. Like, while they're waiting for the book, so they can't piss and moan. So they buy the book for print, free plus shipping. So it actually ends up as free plus shipping plus ad spend. So I actually, I'm all of my leads now are not just paid paid buyers, but they're also free. So my ad spend and my profit from the book is the same, which is brilliant. And then they buy on the sales page for the book. You can check it out on unstoppablebooks.com. On the sales page for the book, there's two things. We've just changed this, and it's made a huge difference. You can buy the book on its own, or it says my best and most successful students get the book alongside the audiobook, and that's 20 quid. Then at the bottom, they also get the option to buy a meditation training for 20 quid. So we probably made an extra $2,000-$3,000 off those two added on the back end. And that's free money. And then they come in the funnel. And then once they're on my email list, well, it's game over.
If they're action takers, then they're going to be happy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So let's talk about the book a little bit then. What? How did you find it? How did you find the whole book writing process and stuff?
Hated every fucking second of it. I'm going to guarantee you that I'll not write another one. Hated every and it's interesting because I love writing emails, and I'm gonna say this, I'm world class at writing emails.
You are, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and but the book, I fucking hated it, dude. You know why I think I hated it, right? Is the same reason why most people hate writing emails. There's no instant gratification, there's no instant dopamine hit from a like or a comment. It almost feels like you're working in the dark.
To proper slogan.
Praise in here. There's no praise. There's no feedback, and you're just slaving away on your own. I hated it. Yeah. I hated every second of it, dude. I like writing the first two chapters, and then I hated every second of it after that.
So how long did it take you, buddy?
Really, about 2 years. No shit. Once I got my head down, I probably finished it in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Once I got some leverage to get it done. Which was basically the leverage to get it done was telling people when I was going to have it done by.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I found that too. Yeah, with my first one.
And actually, if I did it again, I would actually pre-sell it. So I had to get it done. That's what I did with the audiobook. I recorded the audiobook in one day. because I sold 20 copies and it wasn't ready. Yeah, I sold 20 copies just to think, is this even worth it? I sold 20 and people are like, where the fuck is it then? They all had technical difficulties.
I better go and do it.
In other words, I'm replying to your email in a break of recording it. I hated the whole process.
No, it's good to hear in a way.
And I've actually never suffered as much self-doubt and shit like that ever. And I'm a guy that gets shit done. I'm a guy that puts shit out regardless of how it looks, messy, ugly, whatever.
Yeah.
And I've never suffered as much self-doubt because part of me is like, well, once it's out there, it's out there. It's in print. Mm. It's out there. It's done. And I actually, in the audiobook's actually better, in my honest but accurate opinion, than the book itself, because I tend to go off track and I add some commentary. I laugh at my own jokes and shit, dude. And I say at the start, I say, listen, I'm recording this podcast and my mic's broke. My mic was actually broke when I recorded it. I've got a new one now.
Yeah.
I was going to have to wait 2 days for the next one. I was like, I've already sold. I'm going to have to do it. So I did it in the MacBook's normal mic. So it doesn't even sound amazing. And I say, listen, here's the deal. My mic's fucked. I don't know what I'm doing here, okay? I'm not in a professional studio. I'm in my fucking home office because my kids are off school sick. Here's the deal. You're going to hear me cough. You're going to hear me sniff. You're going to hear me take drinks. You might even hear me fart. You're going to hear me stumble over words, and I'm not going to edit it. Because here's your first lesson. If I did all of that, this would take months to get out.
Yeah.
And I want to get it to you now. So your first lesson in this book is progress beats perfection, but only 100% of the time. And then I just went into the audiobook and shot it in a day. Yeah. Yeah. And I wish I'd took that approach a little bit more with the book.
Yeah. Well, we live and learn, don't we? Yeah, definitely. So it was a nightmare. You fucking hated it. It took you 2 years.
Yeah.
But worth doing, buddy?
Oh, dude. 100%. I figured out it's almost the only way that I could scale the business to where I wanted to go with ad spend.
Right.
Yeah. Dude, we're dropping like close to 400 or 500 quid a day on ads.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But I'm essentially not paying anything because
it's self-liquidating almost with the book and the upsells and
What I have noticed is that I'm getting a lot more criticism, but that comes with the territory because I'm an authority now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had a level of authority because of the amount of content I put out and because of my results in my own personal life, but the word author is in the word authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get a lot, dude. You've seen it. I get a lot of criticism, but it comes with the territory.
Oh, for sure. Hey, mate, you're talking to your mate here. Don't worry, I get plenty of that as well.
Yeah. I bet the dogs hate you.
The dogs are the only ones that like me.
Yeah, funny enough, I got someone trying to dig me out yesterday. And it was one of these guys that has a dog as his profile picture, right? And while I'm getting angry, I said, "Holy shit, a dog that can type. Well done, boy." And the dude didn't come back with anything. I was like, wow, a dog that can type? Holy shit. Well done, boy.
So you've essentially, did you go into this then, Paul? Essentially, this is like the book is a funnel, isn't it? The book's the funnel for you, essentially.
Lead Magnet only had no intention of getting rich from the book. In fact, Dean Jackson didn't even want me to do the free plus shipping thing.
Right.
Yeah. I remember a very interesting thing that he said to me. Is that he said, I said, dude, do I not want this on Amazon? Do I not want to be like an Amazon bestseller and have all of that? He said to me, do you want to be rich or do you want to be famous? I said, I want to be rich. He said, well, fuck Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very interesting to me. He said, Dean's honestly one of the smart. I'll go to his mastermind again. It's $5,000 for 3 days and I'll go again this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's unbelievable. Honestly, dude, he didn't have any PowerPoints. He didn't even have a whiteboard. He just sat there and said, do this. And he told me to write one email, right? And within 3 hours, I made 8 sales on that last seminar that I was talking about in the summer.
Yeah.
You know what it said? It said the subject line was my seminar. And the email just said this. Hey, mate, are you intending to come to my seminar next month? That was it.
Jesus.
Dude, my inbox blew up. Yeah. Some people are like, I didn't even know about it. I'm like, really? Uh-huh. I've been eating about for months.
Yeah.
Dude, I was blown away. And then I was like, fucking, I'm going to buy everything this guy's got. Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah. Quality. Very interesting concept. Yeah.
Yeah, it's different, just different. No, I'm learning all the time too. That's brilliant. I've written that down too.
Instead, it's the exact explanation of your daily emails. You're standing on a stage talking. That email is you coming down off the stage and saying, hey, are you still interested in growing your dog business?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, if you sent that email, by the way, holy shit. That's actually, so the email, I would go with Ori, your dog business or dogs or something like, hey, and then in your email send, are you still interested in growing your dog business? Nothing else. And then just your name. And then what I have to do is create a big gap between my name and the unsubscribe link.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dom.
Yeah, I'm on it.
When you send that, make sure you've got the next day off to reply to all the emails.
Well, I'll do it on Monday then. I'll keep it on Monday.
Yeah,
then
good.
Because I'm around next week, that's fine.
Tell me how you go. In fact, next time I do a podcast, you'll be able to pick me up in your helicopter.
I won't have to spend much on petrol because you're only down the road.
I know. Mate. Yeah, you'll pick me up in the helicopter. I'll send a driver for me or some shit. Because, dude, now I can't wait to see what happens with that email.
I'm on it. Don't worry.
Still interested in growing your dog business. Don't add anything else though, because a lot of people, I tell them to do it, and they'll start like justifying it because you're on my list and this and yeah, this. Yeah. Just literally, just write that. Like you're writing it to one person and expecting a response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, honest, I'm on it. Yeah, because I've got a big event coming up in April, so that.
Oh, dude, brilliant. Because you can reply with, something like, "That's great. Did you know about my event in 2 weeks?"
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they say no, because you'll get some people saying, no, I'm not, well, that's cool too. No worries.
Yeah.
Well, fuck off and unsubscribe. That would be John McCulloch. Well, fuck off and unsubscribe and go and do it.
Yeah, I get you. No, I like what you said before, actually, but, you know, they're just not ready yet, and let's, you know, soften our approach a little bit as well. Yeah. No, I think I could definitely learn something
John
from
would
that.
Be like going squat on a rusty screwdriver.
Yeah, he would. He might even say that in the actual first email.
I would. Yeah. Anybody's first email would say, hey, if you have a squat on a rusty screwdriver.
Yeah. So what's next then, buddy? What's next for you?
What is next for me? Well, I'm going to leverage this book again. I'll just be literally just driving this book, and I'm just trying to grow my email list, mate. I'm just trying to take all of my work online now, and that's it. Nothing. Honestly, I haven't got anything majorly exciting coming up.
Yeah, no,
I'm just trying to grow this. I'm actually, in 2 weeks, I'm speaking at an event with Ricky Hatton. Me and Ricky Hatton are doing an event together, which should be fun.
Wow. How did you snag that then?
Just got an email from someone saying, do you want to speak at this event?
Yeah. Beautiful.
I've got some ideas, mate, but right now it's just about growing this online business without getting busier. That's my big thing. I want to make more money, but I'm not willing to give up more time. I'm literally unwilling to give up more time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I work 3.5 days a week, and I'm not willing to do any more than that, but I am willing to get more uncomfortable, because it's not always about being willing to sacrifice more time.
No.
So what's happening right now, we're at this stage where the business is growing quite rapidly, but I'm unable to cope with a lot of the workload. So, for example, I'm not going to be replying to my own emails anymore.
Yeah.
Which is it's fucking with me mentally a little bit, because I'm like, am I being one of those guys, one of those dicks that doesn't reply to his own emails and thinks he's a celebrity? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's just at that level now. I'm in a program called Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan, which has been incredible for me. And they're like, oh, listen, they're going crazy with me, because my wife has actually just joined that program as well. And they're like, Paul, listen, if you want to create a self-managing business, you cannot be as accessible to people that aren't paying you as you are now.
Yeah.
But it's just messing with me, because I'm just a fucking dude from South Shields with 2 GCSEs who's done a bit. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still have all my old mates and all my normal mates, and I still kick around locally. And I just, it's something that I will do, but it's just messing with my ego a little bit.
No, and that, do you know what, Paul? That's a really good point, because when we talk about sort of being uncomfortable, you know, being uncomfortable, we often think about things like writing emails or speaking on stage now. But in your case, you're saying this is going to make you uncomfortable because, it's like a process, isn't it, that you're going to have to do.
I'm having a lot of resistance to this. I don't have a lot of resistance to putting out any content, but I'm having a lot of resistance about like outsourcing this, because the level of control, right? That's what it all is. I'm having a lot of resistance around it. And it's interesting. We're talking about ego, and everyone's like, oh, Paul, you got this big ego and that. I'm like, actually, people that don't do what they need to do content-wise, because they're scared of what people think, they actually have a bigger ego. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because your ego's there to protect you, right? Yeah. So people that have got, people say, get over yourself. I'm like, well, actually, I've gotten over myself. But people that don't do what they said they would do, and people that don't put up video and emails and whatever for fear of what people think, that's actually an ego thing. It's the opposite way around. When you get over yourself and you actually drop your ego, that's when you start putting out content.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's the opposite of what people think.
No, it is, totally, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's totally messing me on a different level than what a lot of fear-based things would mess with me. Do you know what I mean?
But no less intense. Brilliant. Hey, mate, this has been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it, as I knew I would, but I've learned a lot as well. I've made a ton of notes.
Mate, if you don't send that email, I'm going to be on you like a dog on shit. Actually, I'm going to be on you like a dog on another dog's arsehole.
A male dog. Yeah.
Is there any male dogs that sniff butthole?
Well, it just depends. They're fussy creatures. Mine aren't. Mine will sniff anybody's arsehole. And on that note, I'll be honest. I'll send that email, I swear. I'll send that email, I will.
Brilliant.
Where can people go to find a bit more about you, buddy?
The best place to go is unstoppablebooks.com.
Brilliant.
Yeah, where you'll be able to buy me book. If you don't buy me book, don't bother following me.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what's so good? Do you know what's so good, Dom? Is that now when I get all of these messages, and I'm sure you do, people asking for advice, I get probably about 150 to 200 a week, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, buy me book.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If you're not willing to spend £8 on a book, I'm not willing to help you.
Yeah.
And that sounds selfish and it sounds arrogant, but the reality is if you don't put skin in the game, nothing changes.
Yeah.
And skin in the game in the form of £8 is nothing.
Mm-mm. It shouldn't be anyway. You shouldn't probably have a business if you can't afford to spend £8 on someone, should you? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, man, take care of yourself.
You too, my brother.
Thanks, buddy.